What's up, guys? You're listening to Joel and Jose Maximo, the SAT, and you're listening to the ROH Review.
Hello, and welcome to ROH Review Interviews. I'm your host, three-time pro wrestling author, Oliver Newman. And once again, unfortunately, I can't be joined by my co-host, Stephen Jackson. But I'm delighted to be joined by Joel and Jose, the Maximos, and the Spanish announce team, and probably the most innovative tag team with the new millennium. Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
How you doing, Chief? Hey, Oliver. Thank you. Thank you for having us on the show.
No worries. Thank you very much for being our third guests, you know. So, yeah, if we could take it back to the beginning, before ROH started or before you guys debuted. So, Ring of Honor, you heard about it. What did you think about the product before you debuted?
Well, we actually did the first show. We were on the first show of Ring of Honor. It's a long story. We were in a car ride with Rob Feinstein and Doug at the time, who passed away, mm-hmm. with Gamera Man, myself, my brother, Red, and Brian Excel.
Yeah.
At the time. And we were going, I believe, to Tennessee.
To Dusty Rhodes
Promotion. To Dusty Rhodes Promotion at the time was Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. And on the ride, we somehow, some way, Ring of Honor came about. Believe it or not, you can attest to Rob Feinstein. We were like, "Why don't you run professional wrestling shows? You guys know everybody. You guys have all the connections. Why not start a promotion?" Mm. And you know, the talking got going. They said they were considering it already, and Ring of Honor just, you know, started. And we were
like,
so we didn't know about the product. We were the product.
So we have you guys to thank for Ring of Honor.
Hey, man. That's what people say.
That's very good. Obviously it was the 16th anniversary of Eddie Guerrero's WWE title win yesterday. Do you have any special Eddie Guerrero memories?
Yeah. We actually met Eddie Guerrero at a Ring of Honor show. We actually faced Eddie Guerrero's second match in Ring of Honor.
Well, we were assigned to pick him up from the hotel. So we actually picked him up and we met him on the car ride, and
we became friends since
then. We became really good friends with him. Ever since then. So it was, I mean, the nicest guy in the world we've ever met. I mean, Eddie Guerrero was a true gem to wrestling and to people, because He was absolutely amazing in and out of the ring, and that's what's important, man. He was, you know, he's very well missed.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite wrestlers as well, definitely.
He's the man, for sure.
He's probably one of the only guys who we called that Spanish Fly to, and he said no. He was like, "What is that again, Holmes?" And we was like, "We're going to take you up top, and we're going to all three of us go at the same time." He was like, "That sounds terrifying." No.
He was like, "Well, we'll get it."
Yeah. And you say, obviously, you innovated the Spanish Fly, and now everyone does the Spanish Fly. So is that a tribute to you, or how do you see it?
I mean, it's one of those things where it's a bittersweet situation where I'm glad they kept the name, because, you know, mm-hmm. you got the DDT. The name was kept. Spanish Fly, the name is kept. So I just feel like we made a dent in the industry for the rest of our lives. When we're gone, long gone, Spanish Fly will still be there, and that's a great accomplishment.
That's the way I see it.
And they owe us a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, Petey Williams has got the Canadian Destroyer, and that's being used probably as much as the Spanish Fly, isn't it? So
yeah, it's funny though, because even though Petey Williams did the Canadian Destroyer, Amazing Red actually came up with that move.
Oh, wow.
Quiet Storm started to do it in TNA, and then Petey Williams started to do it.
Oh, wow.
It all roots back to us somehow.
Yeah, yeah. The things you learn, that's why I do these interviews, because I want to be more clued up than I already am. Absolutely. So, like you mentioned before, because you've been reading my notes, you wrestled Eddie Guerrero and Amazing Red on ROH Night of Appreciation for Eddie Guerrero. That must have been a phenomenal experience. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, it was surreal.
And we actually felt like we belong that night, you know? That night with being across the ring from Eddie Guerrero and tagging with Red, and, you know, and us four being in the ring, you know, showcasing that match with that man. And he was Intercontinental Champion at the time.
Yeah.
And having the privilege and just, like, you could feel the superstar in the ring when you see that man, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was a special night. Like, that night will always live in my heart, for real.
Yeah, I mean, even calling the match and preparing for the match, it was surreal. You're wrestling Eddie Guerrero, one of our heroes, and not one of our friends, you know? And it was one of those things that I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure, but I think Eddie requested that last match.
He did.
And then I think he had a last match with Loki after that, but not in Ring of Honor. Yeah. Somewhere else. But in the Ring of Honor, he wanted us in the ring. And then he tagged with Red because he was like, I want all three of them. Mm-hmm. So it was awesome, man. It was a privilege. And, you know, he wrote about the match in his book, Cheating Life, Stealing, you know, and Stealing Life, Cheating Death. And, you know, he was touched by it as well. He loved it. He had we had a great time.
And we became friends since that match.
That was our guy.
Yeah. Learned so much from him, you know, and his family, Chavo Classic. We had the privilege to wrestle them also. And it's like...
The list goes on, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, the Guerrero family really inspire the Mexican family.
Yep. Got ya. And then he had a quick, like, match with Brian XL afterwards, didn't he? When he basically did the frog splash.
Oh, yeah.
That was his idea.
What was it like teaming with Amazing Red as well in ROH?
It was great. I mean, we were a trio from the beginning. You know what I mean? We actually started here in Long Island for a company called HWA at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Red was the camera guy. But, you know, he was training at the time anyway, but he was like, you know, he wasn't on that show specifically, right? Yeah. And we were like, just come, man, just record us. And he was recording for us. And during that, we fit in a spot, right, at the time. I remember. And he got recognized because he was as athletic as hell. You know, Red is insane. He defies gravity.
Yes.
So he got noticed, and they started to book all three of us at the time. And even in this company, HWA, is where we got the Spanish announce team gimmick.
Yeah.
Mikey Whipwreck introduced us to a guy named Paul Auria. Actually, Paul Auria was the Giant Killer in ECW. Yeah, he was. Back then.
This is way back then. So he called the Giant Killer, the original Giant Killer.
Yeah.
Before Spike Dudley.
Spike Dudley. Okay.
Yeah, and it was Paul Auria, and he had this promotion up here in New York, and he booked us on the shows, and we started to get recognized. But then he came up with a gimmick. He was like, "Hey, the Spanish table in the WWE is always getting destroyed. Why don't you guys go out there with some headsets and a table and announce during the matches? And if someone then you whoop."
That was the awesome. That was the whole thing with Spanish announcing. And we pitched that to every company we worked in. We said, "Hey, let us go out there and do the, you know, we speak Spanish. Let us do the whole Spanish announcing thing." But everybody's like, "Nah, go out there and, you know, do a Spanish fly."
Yeah. I wasn't sure if that was actually the thing. I thought, is that just the name? But it would have been really cool for you guys to do, like, you know, Spanish commentary on, like, Ring of Honor and stuff. That'd have been amazing.
That's what we were getting at. We used to do that over here in HWA. We used to actually commentate the matches. We had a little screen
with the headset,
and we were calling brilliant matches. And if someone goes through the table, we whoop the butt.
Then we whoop the butt. We actually now, if, you know, if things go well, I'm actually planning to do exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, we go out there, we get our headsets done, and we'll announce the matches in Spanish. We'll do a good job.
I think they missed the boat with that, because depending on who goes through your table, that's a feud, isn't it? So I thought it was just a play on the Spanish announce team. I wasn't aware that you actually did. That's incredible. Yeah. So funny.
And then they shortened it up because we never did the gimmick. So SAT.
Yeah. Unless you're taking them in the US, then you're kind of stuffed, aren't you, really? You know, your exams, the SATs.
The SATs, that's right.
Yeah. So what I've really What I've realized from my research and stuff is basically you was in every scramble match known to man in ROH. You was in triple threat.
Yeah,
you was in triple.
We actually pitched the idea of scramble matches into Ring of Honor. Mm. And there was a couple of hot tag teams back then, like the Backstreet Boys, the Briscoe Brothers, Quiet Storm and Chris Devine, and then us. They also had Special K, and Special K was like 20 of them. Well, they'll divide them into tag teams of 3Ls. So we was like, look, we just should go out there and just make a scramble out of things, and like go, and that's what happened.
You know, Mexican style. Mexico has matches called tornado, right? Tornado matches where there's no tagging in and out.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever's in the ring gets to wrestle and gets to pin. So let's apply the same rules, and we can do a lot with it.
Yep. Okay, and then probably your biggest moment to date was wrestling Christopher Daniels and Donovan Morgan in a 2 out of 3 falls match for the ROH tag team titles at Final Battle 2002. What are your memories of this match?
Yeah, those guys, man, they're the freaking best. Chris Daniels and Donovan, man, I love Donovan Morgan. Christopher Daniels, one of the greatest of all time, in our opinion.
Yeah.
Legend, you know, and Donovan Morgan, a personal friend. And we love those guys, man. And we had a great time calling the matches with them. Yeah. So easy to call matches. They're so open to anything.
With Christopher Daniels, you can put a broom in the ring and he'll make it hot. Like, this guy, you could do no wrong in the ring with Christopher Daniels. If you follow the lead, the match will be great.
So, yeah.
Wrestling Dumb was actually a big stepping stone in our careers. Like, you know, wrestling him and Donovan, it was like, you know, we're coming up the ladder. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a great experience. And I think it was a great match, actually.
Absolutely. And then, because you've been reading my notes, what was it like teaming with Divine Storm? So you said Chris Devine, Quiet Storm. You teamed with them and you fought against them.
We trained together.
Trained with them as well, yeah.
We all graduated from the Michael Whipper School. Yeah. All together.
We've read as well.
Yeah, so it was us five, actually, right?
Six.
It was six. Quiet Storm, Chris Devine, Red. Brian Excel. Myself, Brian Excel, and Red.
And Red, yeah.
We all graduated from the school.
Yeah.
And so it was so easy to work with them. It was without, you know, we didn't even call matches with them. It's, okay, let's just do.
We actually grew up together.
Yeah.
Like we lived in the same building.
Legit.
We lived on the first floor, and Chris Devine lived on the third floor. And Brian Excel lived on the block. And Brad lived on the block. So we all, like.
We literally grew up within 2-block radius.
We were watching.
And where was Quiet Storm?
We met Quiet Storm at a church. When we first realized it, we used to do backyard shit.
It was an abandoned church.
So we were like, all right, we can't keep doing this backyard shit because we're going to get hurt. We got to learn how to wrestle somewhere. And we didn't have freaking Google back then. I'm feeling old already. So we were like, all right, we got to find out if there's a wrestling school. There was a wrestling school at a Catholic abandoned church, like 6 blocks away. And we went there, us five. It was Brian, me, Red, Chris Devine, and Joel. So we went there, and guess who's there training by himself?
Quiet Storm.
The only student in the whole school. So we started to train with him together, and we didn't know what the hell we were doing because we didn't have a head trainer.
No.
So we were trying to figure things out ourselves, watching tapes, watching videos, and then we were like, we need a trainer. We need someone to guide us and actually teach us how to wrestle.
And out of nowhere.
Yep.
Out of nowhere, from AAA Mexico, Super Aguila.
Yes.
He was one of the
killers. S.A. Rios.
No, not Esa Rios.
Oh,
original. He was one of the Killer Clowns.
He was one of the Killer Clowns.
Oh, okay.
He Super Aguila. He was a AAA luchador that moved. Oh, he crossed the border somehow and got out here and started training in the same church.
Okay.
Yeah, so he started teaching us actually before anybody.
Lucha Libre.
Lucha Libre, yeah.
Pure style Lucha Libre.
So we were training with him for a few years, at least a couple years.
We learned that before we met Mikey Whipwreck.
Mm-hmm.
Once we met Mikey was like, all that bullshit is going to go to the side and you're starting from scratch. The American style.
Yeah.
So that's why you know, all those things needed to happen for us so we could create this style of ours. Because we put all that together and then we started just creating our own thing. Like we started seeing wrestling in a different view. So it was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to change things up. We're going to go out there and do what we do. A lot of people didn't like it. We'll call Spy Monkeys. We'll call it everything. Everything under the book.
Yeah.
We're the worst of the worst in wrestling. You know, we're like, oh my, they were killing the business before
you can't do all those things. It's too much. It's way too much. No one's going to get it. This is what ongoing problem in the locker room. We have guys ask us, what are you guys going to do tonight? Because, you know, we want to make sure we don't do the same things because you guys do a lot of shit. And for us, if it's just another night, at work, we're doing what we do. And apparently we motivated a lot of people to do it too.
But that's why it goes back to all those things needed to happen. We needed to meet Aguila in that abandoned church to get with Mikey Werbrecht so he could reteach us the style in the American way so we could be able to merge those styles.
Merge the two, yeah. You
know, and what we used to call it, the SAT style, you know, what everybody's doing now.
Yeah. Fair enough. Any thoughts and memories on the Special K feud?
Yeah, it's all a big blur.
That's perfect for an interview.
Man, a lot of great guys. You had at the time, Jay Lethal was in Special K. And
look at him now.
And look at Jay Lethal now. I mean, from day one, though, Jay Lethal kind of trained. He trained at the Doghouse, right?
Yeah.
With Low Key Homicide, I believe, trained him. I'm not sure I might be incorrect. But
no, JP is cool.
And JP.
They went to Mikey for a while. Jay Lethal got experience from a lot of different places. That's why that man is so dangerous. Like, I mean, in all the best ways. Like, he knows every style, every technique. Like, he is amazing in the ring.
He's a student of the game, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a student of the game.
He's something else. He absorbed from everyone that he can learn from, you know?
Did you see how great he could be back then?
Yes.
Of course. He was one of our favorites. He was our guy. You can ask him to this day. Like, I used to pick him out of the, all right, we want to wrestle Jay and who else?
Whoever else. He wasn't even in some matches and we'll pull him up so we go ahead and whisper a butterfly or move.
If he's not in the same match, we're like, all right, Jay, you're going to slide in after the match and we'll do a spider fly just because of during the match. Because he's that good, man. He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
He'll make anyone look like a phenomenal wrestler. Mm-hmm. And that's a gift. You know what I mean?
You had a lot of talented wrestlers from Special K that are not wrestling anymore, like Dragon, Insane Dragon, Dixie, his brother, Deranged, which
he's still wrestling, right?
He's wrestling now again.
Yeah, Deranged is, yeah.
So talented, so talented.
He's in, is it Capitol Wrestling in New York? I saw it here in the UK this past week.
Who?
Deranged. Is it Deranged?
I saw him recently. I think he wrestled for Bull James, right?
Yeah, for Bull James.
Yeah. So he did, what was it?
Outcast.
Outlaw.
Outlaw Wrestling, sorry. Outlaw Wrestling.
Bull's going to get pissed off at that.
Outlaw Wrestling, sorry, Bull.
Obviously, Bull's going to be watching this. So, yeah. Like you said before about, training with Mikey Werbrecht. You actually, fought against him. He was part of, your guys, and then you drove him crazy and he joined Special K.
He did.
So, what did you make of that kind of, matches and feud?
With Mikey, we don't get to call nothing. he calls everything and we do what he says. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. You're not...
Sounds about right.
This is what we're doing. No problem.
Like Mikey always saw us different than everybody else. You know, we're his students, we're his kids, no matter what. Mm-hmm. So, like, we could be doing all the coolest shit in the world. He doesn't care. And then we don't have to say so. So we just, yes, sir.
He's equally as crazy, though.
But Mike,
he would call crazy kid, too. In the scramble matches, let's do a quadruple suplex. What is wrong with you?
Mikey Werbrecht, I feel like, was always underrated. Like,
yeah.
He's so talented. Everything we do in the ring is because of him.
Yeah, he's like, ridiculous.
He is a master footwork, of his craft. Yeah.
His footwork, his in-ring placement, his knowledge of the business. Mikey Werbrecht is absolutely underrated. Probably one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time. I personally think, and not kissing ass, because he's our trainer, one of the in the history of this business. Mm-hmm. He can wrestle anyone, anyone, and make them look like $1 million.
I love these tag team with Tajiri.
Oh yeah,
loved it.
That was so good.
And his Frankenstein is probably the best Frankenstein ever. His Hurricane Rana, you have
yeah seen? Yeah,
it's insane. Like I don't even know how he does it.
A couple of big names that you wrestled at the time. First off, you wrestled Homicide in a scramble match. Did you see what he would become?
Yeah, of course.
Homicide's, you know,
Homicide's always been a teacher, and he likes to help all the young guys. A lot of the young guys right now, mm-hmm. That are on TV right now, they owe it to him, you know. Homicide is a master of the game.
Yeah, he's. I mean,
so I always saw him be.
He's Loki's teacher.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, he trained Loki. He trained so many guys from the doghouse that came out of the doghouse, mm-hmm. and it just speaks for itself. Just the students alone, the accomplishments they had. He's behind it. He's a mastermind. He's definitely one of the freaking minds of wrestling. This guy has knowledge like no one else. I mean,
yeah,
and he's fun to work with. He's easy to work with. You know what I mean? He's so simple and so complicated at the same time that it's so freaking easy. That makes sense, you know? For us, it was like, all right, this and this and this, perfect. It looks crazy, it looks nuts, and it's freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
Matches would be one of the best.
And you enjoyed the match that you was in with him?
Yeah, absolutely. It was always freaking awesome. You know, he's one of those guys where it's like, you wrestling him? I say, yes. You know, like when we wrestled the Briscoes, it was one of those, yes, thank you, God. Because it's no-brainers. We call those the no-brainers, like Briscoes, Divine Storm, Red, or the Backseat Boys at the time. It's just no-brainers. Jay Lee, mm-hmm. It's a no-brainer. No problem. Oh, easy. Like, you know, Chris Daniels, no-brainer. Donovan Morgan.
He says it like nobody watches the matches. Like, he goes, easy.
No, I mean,
when you put on the DVD or you watch a match, you see us like,
it's the chemistry's there, you know. When the chemistry's there, it's just there. But then there was guys that we wrestled sometimes, and we're like, oh God, it's torture, you know. I don't want to name those guys.
Yeah, you're not gonna name those guys, though.
It's just one of those things. You get those guys, and you're happy about it. Like, yes, he's one of those guys. Good.
Yeah. Fair enough. And another guy you wrestled at the time, the phenomenal AJ Styles. Did you see it in him as well?
Yeah, well, he's a no-brainer as well, right? AJ's easy. He's the best.
AJ was meant to be where he's at right now.
AJ, yeah. Man, we know AJ for so many years. It's crazy how far we go back, right? I mean, like, what, 17 years?
Shit.
It's crazy. We wrestled AJ throughout the whole... I mean...
What did I tell you about swearing, Joel? Danhausen's always watching.
And AJ's a Christian, so you got to be careful what you're talking about.
Sorry,
man.
I'm sorry.
He's amazing.
Yeah, well, he's phenomenal.
He is. I like that. Punchline.
And you've mentioned these guys before and stuff. You know, your thoughts and your feelings on the late, great Trent Acid.
Yes.
My memory... Like, one of the craziest matches that I remember doing in Ring of Honor was the first Scramble Cage match.
Yes.
With the...
Stop reading my notes, Joel. I'm coming to that in a bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But, I've got it on my notes, Jose. We're going to talk about it in a bit. That's why I cut him off. Go on.
Talk about something else. Wrestling those guys,
mm-hmm.
we probably wrestled the Briscoes and Backseat Boys more than... anybody in our list. We've had to have at least 100 matches each.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where it's just, that's, again, that tag team, that was easy, yes. No. Oh, remember what we did six weeks ago or 8 weeks ago? You know, let's incorporate that in this and that. And it was so effortless, man, seriously. And as much as we've done and what we did in the ring was look complicated, it was just, it's the chemistry, especially, I mean, Trent, God rest his soul, man. He was the man. He was the man, bro. Yeah. He was one of the best athletes I've ever.
You see, that's encountered, one. That's right? That's one guy, Oliver, that I saw becoming a huge, huge star.
Yeah.
And It's sad what happened to him because he had it all. He had the star quality for sure. And everybody liked him. All the boys in the back, which is very important now these days, you know?
Yeah.
Who likes you and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. And Trent Acid had that. And yeah. I miss him a lot.
I think for Trent, you know, the girls loved him, obviously. the guys respected his ability. So he had everything.
The boys loved him. The girls and the boys loved him. He was that guy, you know?
Yeah, he was that good. Where he'd been at NXT.
Yeah.
Both of them. Him and Johnny.
Johnny as well.
The it factor, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things, you know, they had the it factor, man. I mean, I think now more than ever, wrestling is to the level where we brought it to. Like, I'm not just saying us, I'm just saying that generation of wrestling.
Yeah.
Chris Daniels, the AJ Styles, the, you know, American Dragons, the Samoa Joes. At the time, this is what we were leading towards. And now this is what's happening now. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we were a little ahead of our time at the time.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
And now wrestling is becoming what we used to do. So yeah. I'm looking at some matches and I'm like, oh shit, we did that 12 years ago, 14 years ago. You know, so it's surreal. It's like pretty cool at the same time. So this is where we're at now. We're back at the gym. We're training.
Very good.
Yeah.
And these guys were complimentary to you on their interview. So hopefully you'll be the same way. I don't want to cause any feuds between you. Carnage Crew, fighting with them and fighting against them. How was that?
Yeah, Carnage is good.
Man, Carnage Crew, like I said, they took us to the toughest matches. It was hard-hitting because they don't hold back. And a lot of times, it was very hard-hitting. I don't regret any of the matches with Carnage Crew. Like I said, I learned a lot from them. Loved them.
Yep.
They did slow us down because they were, you know, teaching us while wrestling us. And
DeVito's, I mean, Loke and DeVito is, I mean, like Tony DeVito is a legend to me. I mean, this guy, we grew up watching him.
Mm.
And when we finally met him, it was like, holy shit, he's one of those guys that, you know, we love Loke as well. He's amazing. But it was, you know, DeVito at the time was one of those guys that we were watching like, holy shit, he's amazing. When he was tagging with Spanish Angel at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was ridiculous. The shit he was doing, no one was doing. So we always got interested in guys like that. We got interested in the guys that we felt like were different. So when we were different, we loved it. That's why most of the wrestling we watched was in Japan. We had rarely watched anything in the United States at the time because nothing really intrigued us except for guys like that. And he's legend, bro. He's the man.
Yeah.
And in and out of the ring, he's gave us so much advice, taught us so much in and out of the ring. He's incredible. We're so grateful for him.
Very good. And you wrestled Sterling James Keenan back then. He's now WWE commentator Corey Graves. what do you make of...
Get out of here. He was wearing the white coat.
Yeah,
when we did that scramble match I didn't even know that was him. right now, he had the white coat and the blonde long hair.
Whoa,
man.
Yeah.
Well, they never brought him back after that.
Later on. Yeah, they brought him back later on.
Oh well, we left from there, but wrestling him was, I remember, I actually just watched that match like 2 weeks ago. He tagged with one of the Special K guys, I believe.
He tagged with Easy Money of ECW fame.
There you go. Sorry.
Easy Money. I haven't heard that name in a while.
you remember Brian Excel?
Yeah, Easy Money. That's when he knocked Brian out?
Yeah, he knocked Brian out. Yeah, he knocked Brian out.
It was my mistake. Well, Brian used to take. Brian was one of those guys that take anything. Like, legit. Sick bastard.
Say that again. Sorry, I missed that.
Brian Excel was one of those guys that took any maneuver ever.
Okay.
Like, it was bad. Like, dude, stop taking everything. okay, what do you mean you're taking that? Are you kidding me? And that day, right? Easy Money flipped and did the clothesline thing he used to do off the apron. Yeah. Right he had his teeth mark in his bicep. Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, yeah, he stunned him pretty good.
And Corey Graves, he was in that match. Yeah.
Yeah. You happy with his commentary nowadays?
Yeah, no, he's a great commentator, actually. I didn't know it was him. He got tattoos everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, thank you for reminding. Look, I learned something from you today.
You're welcome. So moving on to the match that Joel was talking about earlier when I cut him off, the scramble cage match. Because you shouldn't read my notes, Joel. That's what we should learn.
I can see them.
I know, yeah. You can read them, can you? Yeah. The scramble cage match, and obviously this is a very controversial match because of what Teddy Hart did in it and stuff. Sorry. What are your thoughts and memories on this?
Oh no, everyone's still talking about it. Yeah, yeah. Teddy went. Teddy's my boy. You know what's funny? That I just spoke to Teddy Hart. That's crazy, right? Last month.
Yeah.
Teddy Hart, character, bro.
Well, first off,
you know,
right?
I forgot about that.
First off, they told us we were gonna wrestle in the cage like 2 weeks before the match.
Yeah.
Then they told us that they were going to put platforms on top of the corners of the cage.
So we can be catered to the Spanish Fly.
So we could be catered to doing the Spanish Fly.
Yeah.
We're like, okay.
So I didn't know how tall the cage was going to be. So I said, yeah, 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 we're going to do it, of course. When we saw the cage getting put up, I was like, shit. Oh, I said it again. Sorry.
Sorry.
I was like, wow. We really going to do Spanish Fly from up there? Guess who's going to take it? Jay Lethal. So
it only makes sense.
So we over there calling out the match, and it went from 0 to 100 like real quick, for real.
Yeah.
So nobody did what they were supposed to do, and the backseat boys were inside the ring already. They were pissed off, and that's when the whole thing. Teddy went off. His wife.
What did he do again?
He moonsaulted on you after the match was over.
Yeah, yeah. And then he dove into the cage. And then he dove into the crowd, right?
Yeah. And then he threw up all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
He was knocked out, I believe. He got knocked out somehow. I believe that he did a triple moonsault to the outside.
That was Jack Evans.
No, Teddy threw out. Too.
Was it a Teddy?
I don't remember. Jack Evans.
He hit his head.
Yeah.
Oh, no one caught him. I don't know if he missed, and no one caught him. So Jack is freaking.
That was the first time we didn't get.
So Jack Evans is elastic, then, isn't he?
He's something else.
It's gotta be
freaking Gumby, that kid.
Jack
Holy
is
shit.
Gumby for real. Jack is Gumby
something
for real.
Else. Sorry, I just cursed.
No, that's fine.
And Teddy Hart went haywire. I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened.
He goes rogue.
The only thing that worried me was when he did the moonsault to the outside after the match was over, and he landed on my brother's back. My brother didn't even see him coming.
Mm.
So he could have probably gotten hurt if you wasn't there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if somebody told him in the ring, because I believe that he said somebody told him to moonsault to the outside. But when that happened, everything went crazy. In the back, there was a big fight. You heard about the big fight, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I stood outside, actually, because I didn't want to get blamed for the match. So we stood in the back for the first time ever. They didn't blame us for the match. So,
hey.
Unfortunately, Teddy took all the heat for it. But I believe that was the best scramble cage match, though, to tell you the truth.
Mm.
It was pretty nuts.
They still haven't done one. You know what? Ring of Honor, they should do one more at the end of the year. We're in it.
Yeah. I think they have done scramble cages since, but that is definitely the most infamous, got to be said. So moving on to my next question. Becoming number one contenders for the ROH Tag Team titles. That must have been a pretty special moment.
That was, considering we did the first show ever. It was one of those things where it was like, all right, cool, man. We're finally gonna get there and do these, you know, it meant a lot to us because we helped build the company. You know, yeah. We helped build the company. We worked really hard, and it was pretty cool.
When we got there, we were told that we didn't need belts
at the time
that people pay to see us do what we do, you know.
Yeah.
All the stuff. So I didn't take it as nothing personal, of course, because I just wanted to wrestle and I like to entertain fans. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And now thinking about it, you know, I would probably said something if I would have thought about it the way it is now, you know, how people hold on to those things.
Yeah.
I would probably open my mouth, but you know, like we said earlier in the beginning of the interview, like Spanish Fly has been done. It's going to get done way after we are gone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we implanted and cemented our names into pro wrestling like that.
Yep. Fair enough. And wrestling the Briscoes in your ROH tag title shot on the final battle convention card. Well, the lights have gone out.
Sorry.
Someone's forgot to pay the electricity bill.
Better?
Yeah, much. Much better. Depending if I've got to cut this out or not. Wrestling the Briscoes for the ROH tag team titles on the final battle convention card, which I found out today was a series of dark matches and you can't watch it. And I desperately want to. So I'm really frustrated about that. But tell me about your thoughts on the match.
The match was awesome. We actually
Tell me it was awesome. That makes it worse.
It was, and we actually innovated some moves in there. It was actually a really, really good match.
It's probably one of the best. We had seriously.
Mark Briscoe hurt his knee on a dive.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so he had to go and wrestle. I think Samoa Joe in the main event, or for the title, on a hurt knee. Yeah, that really happened. Yeah.
Oh wow!
He did a shooting star press to the outside,
and hit his knee.
Yeah, his knee.
Now, you know, I saw that match. Somebody got to have that match somewhere. I saw that match.
Oh, if they do, you got to hook me up, man. I've got to see that match.
Yeah, I think I could get it, Oliver. I think I could get it.
Very good.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Classic. Yeah. So my co-host Stephen Jackson says, "Who was your favorite opponents in ROH?"
Ooh. I'll say the Briscoe brothers.
Yeah, Briscoe brothers.
The one match I can't get access to. That's
yeah, yeah. Let me tell you something. Us and the Briscoes go back so many years. I mean, when Mark was 16 years old, Mark couldn't wrestle in New York City.
Yeah,
I had the same problem at the same time with Mark. So we were watching our brothers do matches in the Elks Lodge from the back, pissed off because we wanted to go out there and wrestle. But the New York State Athletic Commission wouldn't let us.
No.
So I mean, they slept over our house. We slept over their house many a time. They have a ring in a barn. That's legit. That's not a gimmick. We used to train in their gym. In the barn house. In the ring. This is the real stuff.
With Van Hammer. Yeah, it was crazy.
I love those guys, man. Those are probably one of the greatest workers ever.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, but that's definitely our favorite matches with the Briscoe brothers.
Yeah. Okay. And my last question is, you know, you had a hand in training female wrestler Trinity. You know, what are your thoughts and memories on doing this?
At the time, she came into the wrestling school, Mikey's, right, in Long Island.
Yeah.
She was actually filming. She was a stunt woman.
Yeah.
She used to do stunts for movies. So she was actually doing a wrestling movie and she needed to learn some bumps to do the stunts for whoever was filming.
Yeah.
And she came into the school and she had talent. She was freaking athletic as hell. And Chris Devine actually took her under the wing and he trained her.
Oh, okay.
He molded her. You know what I mean? And he helped out a lot to the point where he and her got a job in TNA at the time
together. Yep.
And yeah, that's it.
Okay. And for yourselves, you were the ROH Tag Team Championship number one contenders. You've had a match on a dark match on a final battle convention. You've got a legitimate claim at the ROH World Tag Team titles, don't you?
We kind of do, don't we?
Yeah.
You kind of do.
We really do. If you really,
you really do. Yeah.
Think about it. We kind of do.
What? Yeah.
We have legitimate claim to the tag team titles in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, we should. No, we should go title.
Yeah, I think you should.
That's my boy.
I think you should. I think Jay Lethal and, well, the franchise Jay Lethal and the foundation Jonathan Gresham are quaking in the boots as we speak.
Surely are, right?
You know something that if Jay Lethal sees this and he opens his big mouth, he might end up there.
Yeah. No, because it was said that Xavier was coming back for this past versus present show.
Yes, He's doing Vegas. I can't wait for that. That's going to be
great. Yeah, and people were saying, look, he's got a legitimate claim. He hasn't had an ROH World title shot since he lost to Samoa Joe. But then he fought Bryan Danielson, and that was on like a main card. So
he's
title shot, but you guys haven't had your title shot. So I think it's time to reclaim.
Yeah, and you know what? We've been eyeing those triple tag team titles too.
Yep.
Yeah, because, you know, my other brother, Will, he wrestles.
Yes.
Yeah, he's also a part of the SAT.
Yeah.
And when my brother stepped out, my other brother came up. Everybody thought it was Jose. He moves just like us. You know, he was trained by both of us, so he has the best of both. So
yeah,
he is something to look out for, especially this year.
Nice teasing going on here. That's my questions, guys. You know, if you want to talk about, go on.
I thank you for interviewing us. I wanted to get on the Ring of Honor review.
Thank you for having us, man. It's a privilege.
Yeah.
It's an
honor, man. And hopefully we do this again with some tag team belts in our shoulders.
Let's hope that you've got those tag team goals around your waist.
Yes, sir.
Go on.
Just tell them we're coming. Tell them we're coming.
I think you've just done it, Jose, to be honest.
Tell them we're coming.
You know.
Season,
you know. Yeah. It's a shame that Jay Lethal's doing something at past versus present, isn't it? Well, and Jonathan Gresham, because I don't know. I don't know if they can do double duty. Maybe they can. do you want to plug anything before we go?
Yeah, please. Follow us on Instagram, Mr. Jose Maximo, and also Spanish Announce Team.
Yeah.
And, yes, man, keep an eye out.
And on the Twitter is SAT or Maximo Bros.
Yep. That's how this interview came to be, ladies and gents.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Peace out. It's been my pleasure, guys. Thanks very much.
Our pleasure.
And all the Spanish fly doers, we're coming.
There's a lot of them, Joel.
Yeah, that's a lot.
There's a lot of them.
All of them. We're going to scratch that off this year, 2020.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
We are extremely proud to be a part of the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast team. They are our hosts, and we really appreciate it. So go follow them on Twitter, at BBGW Wrestling, at BBGW Pod, and BBGWrestling.com. We have a partnership with powerslam.tv, and they have over 6,500 hours of professional wrestling from 140 plus promotions. Use that on us for free for a month using the code BROKENFREE. To myself, I'm a free-time pro wrestling author. Firstly, Fans Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. ROH is in this book, so that's the reason to buy it. I was at Unified in 2006. I was in the same hotel as ROH Wrestlers in 2007 and at the Liverpool Double Shot in 2007 too. Second up is a book that I don't usually promote, but it has ROH alumni in it. It's A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. If you want to find out what happened with AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, etc., make sure you read this book. And lastly, Fans Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. I was at the Orlando Double Shot in 2008, and I took ROH alumni, my modern-day favorite wrestler, Paul London, to the main event and to the World Heavyweight title, and it's in this book. And then for all three books, are available on paperback and Kindle Limited for free, signed via my Big Cartel. So contact me on a fansperspective.bigcartel.com. And that is fine and dandy. Lastly, our social media. So Twitter is at ROH Review. Instagram is at ROH Review. We now have a Facebook page, facebook.com/ROH Review 2019, because that's when we were established. YouTube is one of those funny things that we have to put in the description. And our email is rohreview@outlook.com. Comments, questions, feedback, send it our way via any of those social medias, and we will crack on with what you need to know. Thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see you soon. Bye for now. Bye.